can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news, my head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels sweet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man, but as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, we're back. This is Ralph Kermit Winterow II with the Ralph Winterow Show. I got Mark Mays on out of Oklahoma. And are you following what I'm saying, Mark? Does it make sense or not?
Yeah, I think it does. You know, you got to realize that the president of the United States is an administrator, and he only has control over those departments that he administrates over. And when those departments, like the EPA and the IRS and Department of Transportation and so on and so forth, CDC, on their regulations have limits to them. And you have to start asking yourself, well, who do they have control over? And usually it's just at a federal level. Well, if you and I aren't federal employees and we're not working in that department, how do their regulations have effect over us?
And there's only one way. The thing that people that we don't understand is we get these letters from the IRS or these other ones, and they cite code. Agencies only can talk through regulations, and they don't do it. Very rarely. They will, in tax court, they may cite a 301, but they don't ever tell you. And that's one of the things. We are mandated to have notice. It's called knowingly. You can't be prosecuted for something that you don't know. I got a law book in it, so I'm going to be looking on that for mens rea and actus reus, conduct and knowingly and all that stuff. So I'm really up to speed on this. First year law books I give to law students. But the bottom line is, we have to understand agencies only can talk through regulation if it's going to have a legal effect. That's it. They're stuck there. There's nothing else. That's it. And the only way the president can talk to us is if Congress gives a specific limited delegation of power. Like if Congress passed a, quote, statute that says, by Mr. Comrade Biden, you can get around and make an executive order on masks. His executive orders to have CDC do it or Homeland Security or who to do regulations is irrelevant. The only thing that I don't know all the answers to, which I will, is through national emergencies. But we don't need to worry about that for what we're talking about today. I will know that. I know they can. And how I will find out the limits, because all I got to do is go back and look at what Trump did, because that was checked out to the nth degree, so that Trump couldn't do things. Because that's what he, how he got the fence money for that. He used a national emergency, which was valid. Okay? Melissa in Maryland, question, comment, what we're talking about? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you. Yeah, the miracles of
communication. Hi there, Goody. I was going to say, great, that was immediate. Got a question for you. I'm sorry if you weren't expecting this, but I'm going to go ahead and ask. I am assuming that you regularly write Congress and respectfully, you know, request things. So who do you find within Congress to be receptive, Republicans? Or I'm just asking you to share everybody you find to be receptive, whether they be Republican or Democrat, because this is my particular dilemma, which you may already know, and I wonder who is going to take action on it, because I've requested it a few times, and it's fallen on surprisingly deaf ears. But
I can tell you unequivocally that most of these congressmen don't give a rat's rump what we think about, the Democrats for sure, and a whole bunch of Republicans, of which we got one of the worst, unfortunately, in Alaska, called Murkowski.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up having to vote for
Tulsi or leave the ballot blank. But anyway, my particular issue is that the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House have different voting methods on legislation. Okay, the U.S. Senate has like three or four different methods of voting on legislation, and then the U.S. House has like four or five, something like that. Now, the last time I looked all of this up, the House voting methods were actually on the House, the Senate voting methods were actually on the Senate's website, but the House voting methods, believe it or not, were not even on the website, and I had to finally do a search to locate their five different voting methods. But the reason why I'm trying to address this is that not all of their voting methods are on the record. So if you wanted to go, you know, look up, say, Andy Harris's voting record, he's in Maryland. Not all of the votes that have been taken are on the record. So, and when I say on the record, I mean, like, you can look up somebody's name, like Elijah Cummings, you can look up somebody's name and you can see exactly, you know, how they voted on legislation. That's what I mean by on the record. So if I were to, or if you were to make that request of Congress that they get on the record with all of their votes and with all of their voting methods, who could that request be made to that you think they would actually take action on it instead of do nothing?
Well, that's quite interesting, because you're talking about something that I don't doubt you that it exists. And it's just another thing of why wouldn't they want their votes on the record? And probably leader of the Republican Party.
It goes both ways.
Because it sure the heck could go to Pelosi. Because Pelosi puts her finger in the air, and she rules by whatever the communists are telling her to do. She makes Jezebel look like a saint.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised at the well-intentioned members of Congress. I assume that they know about this, and I'm kind of surprised that they're letting it exist, because it seems like it would be easy enough just to get everybody on the record about what they did, and then their voting record could easily enough maybe get somebody out of office who shouldn't be there. But see, I mean, my position is that Democrats are as able to do things as Republicans are, so if there is a receptive Democrat, then, you know, I just want to write to somebody who is going to take action on it. So nobody comes to mind that would take action on this.
For the impossible, because the bottom line is there's nobody's going to tell me that both sides don't know what's going on.
Okay.
And the Democrats, for darn sure, aren't going to change it. And there's a whole bunch of Republicans. We got McConnell. We got Lindsey Graham. He's a traitor. Even Trey Gowdy, he was up there, a great prosecutor. He could get the information out, but he wouldn't subpoena anybody. So when these people won't proceed forward to the ultimate, to follow the Constitution, I don't know if you watched the, did you watch any of that impeachment hoax?
Some of it, but the impeachment, I know that the impeachment was just a charge, and I mean, I watched some of it. I knew that I could go back and watch it at any time, but I mean, it wasn't particularly, the way that I look at the impeachment is that it's one of the litmus tests that we can use to make a determination about who ought to stay and who ought to leave Congress. That's the way I look at it.
Well, what you need to look at? Look at the, and I'm going to be having that on my homepage, is the final guy that did the closing arguments for the Trump side. Now, here's what's astounding. We don't have to follow the Constitution for impeachment. They admitted that. We don't have to follow the free speech, political free speech. We're not going to follow that. They admitted it. We don't have to follow due process of law. We don't have to give you evidence. We don't have to tell you anything. They admitted. We don't say we don't do due process of law. The First Amendment, free speech, we don't have to do. The Constitution, we don't have to do. And they admitted that guy that was a head guy, I can't think of that jerk's name. We are not going to follow the precedent of the holding of the Supreme Court on incitement. So we threw out the Supreme Court, we threw out the Constitution, we threw out the First Amendment, we threw out due process of law, and they admitted it all. They're rubbing our nose at it, but that's the court. If we're not going to follow all of that, hey, that's called treason, by the way. Treason is waging war on the laws of the United States. This is what BLM and Antifa are doing. You're waging war to overthrow the government. When you wage war, you have to have an overt act, harm. They're admitting we're waging war on the laws, and they're doing acts that are harming people. That's called treason. But the problem that we have in America, we don't have an FBI. Have you heard of anybody? All the stuff that's going on, if the FBI was there, this stuff would have never been going on. If we had a Department of Justice, because now we know Barr was working with Comrade Biden, getting his executive orders ready behind the scenes. I had him figured out as soon as he said, I'm not going to prosecute Hillary or Obama. And then he gets up and says, we're going to have a rule of law. If you have a rule of law, it's colorblind and it's position blind. No matter how high, low, how high up, whether I'm black, white, purple, green, or an alien. It affects everybody the same. And when he said, I'm doing that, I said, we're done. Now we got Durham there that's supposed to be investigating stuff, and Biden, his son, Hunter. What do you think is going to happen? The FBI's had it for a year. The DOJ had it for a year. Durham's been, we got one little guy indicted for nothing after a couple of years. What do you think is going to happen? Nothing. It's a con. And people need to wake up and say, look, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You need to go. Be gone.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to take a crack at this. Melissa, this is Mark. You know, if you're trying to find out what your representative voted on, you know, there's a type of vote where they don't actually record their personal vote, but they just do a blanket voice vote where they'll say, those in favor say yay, and you have a whole bunch of people say yay, and then those who are not in favor say nay, and there might be a few people say nay, and they'll say the yays have it. Well, there's nobody sitting there recording whether your representative voted for it or not. And they like that because it's not recorded. They don't know who all the yays were. And in,
well,
in
but
that
what
event,
you're saying is that it gives them wiggle room, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and so what I would do if I really wanted to know how they voted, I would contact that representative's office and say, on this particular bill, did you vote for or against it? And if necessary, you could even cite the Freedom of Information Act. You have the right to that information. So you just want to know, did they vote for or against it? Now, the sad part is there's nobody there that can testify whether they did vote for or against it. So there again, they come back and say they voted for it. Now, here's what would be funny, though, is if you did every representative and they came back and said, oh, I didn't vote for that. And yet you had a majority of them say they didn't vote for it, but yet the bill passed, then somebody's lying.
Here's what I would do when you do that. We would have to have somebody in each one of the districts, because I went after Lindsey Graham and he says, oh, thanks for hearing it, but I don't have to respond to you because you don't live in North Carolina.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we could find people in every state and every district that would be willing to.
I know, but why do we see that? The thing is, they make it so time consuming to do something that should be right out there in the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, they shouldn't let
hours in the day.
They shouldn't allow them just to do a yay or nay vote like that. And I know they do it for expediency, especially when they're trying to, it's the end of their session, end of the year, whatever, and they're trying to ram through a bunch of bills. They do it here in Oklahoma all the time. By law, they're supposed to read the bill before they even vote on it, and there's supposed to be a discussion. But at the end of the year, they just run them through. They don't read them. There's no discussion. They just up and down, yay or nay, and they roll it through.
Yeah, just like Pelosi said, we got to sign this bill so we can find out what's in it.
Yeah, we got to pass the bill before we know what's in it.
You literally can't make this stuff up. I mean, it's so beyond even common sense.
So what you're telling me is that you really don't know any members of Congress who would be receptive to that request, huh?
There are probably Jim Jordan would be one, the guy that's out of Florida. What's his name? Gates or something like that. And the guy out of California, what's his name? There are three representatives that are trying to do the right thing that I know of.
Wow. Okay, and nobody in the Senate, nobody in the U.S. Senate?
Nobody I know of.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know of any as far as that type of
Lindsey
request.
Lindsey Graham is a con. I mean, look,
okay.
I'm a lawyer, but I read law stuff. He gets around and he asks you, he said, Melissa, if you knew then what you know now, would you have filed this fraudulent thing with the court? What's going to be your answer? You'll say, well, of course not. That's not the way you find out if they're filing a fraudulent 301 with the court. You say, Melissa, did you read this 301 you signed? Yes or no? Did you check into the evidence, Melissa? Yes or no? When you found out that it was fraudulent, what did you do? Did you inform the court? Did you go out to get criminal charges? He asked a question with the answers already built in. That's not a beginning law student would know. You don't load a question to where the only answer is, well, Melissa, if you knew it was going to be a crime, would you have done it? Well, of course not. What are you supposed to answer?
Mm-hmm.
Sheesh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then Hannity, he panders him. I like Hannity, some of the stuff, but he has him on, and oh, man, well, you're going to go get him, just like Lindsey Graham said, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. I'm going to get to the bottom of the Hunter Biden thing. Did you see him get to the bottom of it? He could have had hearings the same way as old Lion Schiff could and protected Trump, but he didn't do it. Back in a minute. Stay tuned if you got anything else.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Okay, I'm back here. I got a couple of questions to ask you, Melissa. I'm not trying to put you on the spot and embarrass you. Have you ever heard of fruit of the poisonous tree?
As an expression, yes.
Okay, what that means
but
is...
If you're suggesting that that's a book, I haven't read that book, but go ahead.
Okay, what that simply means is you can't proceed forward, just like a law. If you did a violation of a person's rights or the law or it's illegal or it's fraud, you can't proceed forward as that as a foundation to do something. Fruit of the poisonous tree. Now, here is where these senators and representatives, a lot of them are lawyers in Congress, in the Senate, and this is where the old Vice President Pence, they knew, they had knowledge. There's no way you could not know that these states violated their constitutions, they violated their legislative statute. That's called fruit of the poisonous tree. That is such a embedded thing. It works even on traffic citations, but it doesn't work in the Supreme or in the Senate. Okay, that's the first thing. Fruit of the poisonous tree. If you get stuff illegally and you've stolen money or whatever, you can't proceed forward. It's just that simple. And yet they did, because we just ignore it. And now how do they get around it? See, this is the con, which they did. They have been to 61 courts, and there's no court that has taken this. Now, wait a minute. What just happened? Validating fraud by a court not hearing evidence does not validate the fraud. You always go to the foundation of everything. This is why agencies, you have to go to what binds them. The only thing that binds any federal agency is what's in the Federal Register. Everything else is irrelevant. It's a con. That's why the IRS sends you out letters. Oh, if you don't do this, they cite 6331. We're going to lien. We're going to levy. They don't have any authority to use code sections. It's a con. We got to wake up, and what I used to do all the time when I went into these agencies. God, I just loved doing that. When I figured it out, well, we got. I'd ask for this. Well, we can't do that. I said, you know, I know you're very highly trained, and you're very efficient, knowing what's going on. What rule or statute or regulation are you relying upon? Because I know they've told you what you're relying upon. I turn it around, put the burden of proof on them. go to the substance, the bottom of it. And they sit there with this dumb look on their face. And they don't know. They ain't got nothing. Then you get a supervisor. He ain't got nothing. So my question to you, if I was going to write one of your senators representative, I would write two things. Number one, how did you vote? Number two, I would say, do you agree or disagree with whatever the specific issues are within that bill? I want a yes or a no. I'd be surprised. I'd be love to hear if you hear get any results. But go for it.
Well, I guess what you're trying to say is that it would be nice if the votes were explained why I voted yes, why I voted no. Okay.
You want a yes or a no, and then regardless of what he says, you want to know if he agrees or disagrees with whatever the specific issue is. Do you agree with abortion? Do you agree with whatever it's about? Yes or no? And why?
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to... See, this is the thing that's missing in all of America right now. I don't know if you have any children. Do you have any children?
We'll discuss that some other time, but keep going.
Well, here's my point. America cannot exist unless we're held accountable. These people, there's no rule of law. They're burning down buildings. They're killing people. There's no Department of Justice. There's no thing. There's no rule of law. They're taking away the rule of law in New York and these Democratic cities for the cops. If you don't have a, if you're not held accountable for your actions, our society, we're back to the old Wild West. We're worse than that. You have to be held accountable. These people break the law knowingly. They, like I say, they got into Congress on impeachment and said, we're not following the Constitution. We're not following. There's no First Amendment on the protected speech. There's no due process of law. And I am not following the precedents of the Supreme Court. I'm making up my own rules. That should just shock the heck out of people. They admitted it. They're rubbing their noses in it. Now what do we do?
Okay, well, I understand. You're suggesting that there are only three members of Congress that you would bother writing to and that would be receptive to reasonable requests.
There's only three that I see. Jim Jordan has stood up. I can't. What's the name of the guy out in California? God, I can see his face. He's been standing up against it. And Gatz, or G-A... ETZ out of Florida. That's the only three that I know. I don't know of any senators at all.
Wow.
I don't. We've got one up here that's an absolute crook, Murkowski. She's a crook beyond belief, and she's been proven to be a crook. And you know what happens? Nothing. Anyway. Well, anyway, that's my suggestion.
Okay. Thank you.
Email me.
That's what I wanted your advice on, because I'm presuming that you attempt to resolve stuff with Congress and you had some experience with this and you found some more receptive than others. But this is just so major that they're off the record and they continue to be off the record.
I pounded those guys, different ones of them on email list and stuff, and nothing. Like I say, Lindsey Graham and some of those, like I like to pound, or McConnell, I get back. Well, you're not in our district, but thanks for getting a hold of us. Bye.
Okay.
Anyway,
thank you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Well, we're back here. And let's see, Wayne, I guess you're up next in Texas. You got a question or comment?
Yeah, hi, Ralph. I did have a comment about masks. And before that, though, I wanted to ask you a quick question. As you've heard, there have been some people in Texas that are going to be getting huge electric bills, like $5,000, $10,000. One guy's got a $17,000 bill he's looking at. So I was kind of curious, if you're advising someone, would you have any ideas on some recourse or how to maybe fight back in this thing?
Well, yeah, you know, I'm amazed they could get away with it because the cost per megawatt should be regulated. I don't know how they could do that. That would be my first question is to the company, as I would say, who is regulating the per megawatt cost? I want to see the regulations on that. Send them to me and I'll take a look. Because, right. I mean, they just can't. I saw that. I don't know how they could get away with that.
Well, a lot of people signed up for something called Gritty, which is some type of a wholesale type arrangement where when times are good, things are pretty calm, you know, they get a very, very low rate, you know, per kilowatt hour, I guess. But then it also leaves it open-ended in a case like this where it spikes so bad and the rate jumped like, I don't know, maybe 9,000% or something like that. It was pretty crazy. And so just one of those things where people are trying to scratch their heads saying, how could this have happened except I don't know if the contract would have laid out that type of stipulation where that was a liability.
Send me the paperwork and I'll read it.
Yeah, it didn't affect me. I may have a family member.
It's always in the paperwork, and I can read through that nonsense, but I have to see it. Okay?
Sure. Yeah, no problem
IRS
there.
IRS at AlaskaMinuteman.com and then label it, you know, something. So IRS at AlaskaMinuteman, because I can read through this nonsense. I know the regulatory stuff forwards and backwards now.
Yeah. And if well, my good,
like
yeah.
That, I find that hard to believe that it'd be enforceable.
I kind of thought so. Well, I lost power for 3 days, so I'm not part of that, but I may know people who are going to come across that, so that's why I wanted to ask. But I'll keep my radar up to make sure that if I come across someone, I can get the paperwork.
What is going on down there? How come they don't have any spending reserve?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure of all that, but I do know they closed 2 to 3 coal-fired power plants in East Texas that were very, very efficient for many, many years. I think that was under Obama's scenario where they came in and it was all the greenhouse emissions and everything. So, and I think what had to happen was Department of Energy had to order an emergency directive to allow some of the plants that were down to kick up. You know, I don't know if it was natural gas or coal, but I think they were able to come on board and get some of the some of the power established. So there's a lot of confusion right now, and I think a lot of elected officials, state reps, they don't even know what the hell's going on.
Well, like I say, it's real simple. It's called spinning reserve, and the other one, doesn't Texas have transmission lines out of Texas so other companies can, kick power down there? I don't know. That's the way it used to be back in the 70s, 60s and 70s, so I don't know.
Yeah, with deregulation, who knows for sure. But before I take up too much time, I do want to bring up something about these masks that people tend to have to put on when they go into stores. And I came across a group in California that put together a legal notice to give to these stores if you walk in and get harassed over a mask. And it's called something about these stores being a public accommodation. And by doing so, they fall under federal law. And under one particular site, 28 CFR 36.104, it says that these private businesses serve the public and therefore must abide by state laws, and no business policy supersedes the law. Then drop down to 36.202. It says denial of participation in this business is prohibited unless someone assesses a direct threat for whatever reason. So that's a couple.
Would you send that to me so I can look it up and what's going on? I'd very interested. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Public accommodation, but I'll get off, and I wanted you to be aware of that, because the mask and then also the shot situation. You know, if there's going to need to be some paperwork available to people if these mandated vaccines come up.
Well, that's why I want to get this basic stuff done, because when the vaccine come out, they can't force you and me to do anything. It's all an illusion, but I need to get these the basics down, how to debunk all of this. The ATF, this gun stuff, it's all the same nonsense. I looked on the AML staff. None of it has the force and effect of law. But nobody brings it up, and I'm sitting there saying, why didn't somebody read this stuff?
Well, yeah, along those same lines. Yeah, what I couldn't figure out is how can an executive order to open the border supersede Title 8, 1324, which is, it's against federal law to aid and abet illegal aliens.
I don't know. I'd have to see what I saw of the funding was he canceled the national emergency. I don't know on the other until I see it. But I tell you, if I can see it, I can tell you what the deal is. I have to see
Absolutely.
It.
Okay, thanks, Ralph.
Because like I say, I could just read through this nonsense. I've been doing it so long now, and I finally got we're not going to have time today probably to get to what I wanted to get to, but I'm going to have this on my homepage, how to easily debunk and fight these suckers, because this is what they're doing. They're going to rule by regulation, and they're going to rule by executive orders.
Yeah.
And Comrade Biden can't get to you and me by executive orders. He may think he can, but until we figure out how to blow that little communist comrade out of the water with these nonsense, they're going to keep doing it. Okay? Yeah, great. Well, send that other to me. I'd like to look at it. Okay? Okay.
Hey, Ralph, repeat your email address for Wayne.
It's IRS at alaskaminuteman.com, and put something in the subject matter so I know what's going on. The other one, Ralph, it gets about 1,000 a day, and I can't deal with that. I try to pick them out, but it's IRS at alaskaminuteman.com. Because the two things that they're going to use against us is executive orders and regulations. And by the way, the IRS does have a legitimate constitutional W-4. You do not have to volunteer for the IRS. And I'll get into that maybe next Sunday or something, but it's there for people. We're going to have to stand and fight. Got to fight. Can't sit in our home and quiver, just like what's going on in Texas. Where's the facts? Somebody says, number one, where is the spending reserve? This is basic power. You have to have spending reserve because the loads vary. And if you don't have enough spending reserve to take care of all this nonsense of this winds and all this other nonsense, you're an idiot. And number two, where is the grid? Where don't you have transmission lines so that other utilities that have spending reserve can help you? I mean, this is what we did in the 60s and 70s. We didn't have this kind of nonsense.
The two coal power plants in Oklahoma they shut down were also down in southeast Oklahoma, which is right across from northeast Texas that Wayne was talking about. So, you know, there was five power plants right there that got shut down over the last, 5 years? About 5-6 years ago at the end of Obama's administration. So, you know, they're reducing the availability of electricity and they're not replacing it with anything that is as good. So, you know, the wind power, obviously, we're seeing that the wind power and solar power has limitations. They're not constantly going 24/7.
And they have no reserve. Yeah. They don't have spending reserve. They can't.
Right.
You can't make more 10,000 more wind things. And this is what SEEM does. You need 300 megawatts. We got it. You need 500. We got it.
Right. And the demand is going up. So while our mainline electricity plants are being taken offline, being taken out. We don't have anything that's replacing it, and the demand for electricity continues to grow.
Of course. Well, see, if I, you know, I'm working on the IRS to get this IRS so bad that we can, no letters to, you know, for people to go after these suckers to get it out in the open. But I'm trying to get people to understand and then get these generic things to go after because we don't understand it. I mean, I've been looking for answers. I mean, I beat the heck out of Title 26. I did all kinds of stuff. And I keep doing the same thing over and over. I said, I'm not getting anywhere. So I look someplace else. This is why I finally dawned on me when I said, in the administrative state, what do they have to listen to? Only one thing. Judicial notice of what's in the Federal Register. And they published the Federal Register Act and the APA in the Federal Register. That's the only thing. And until you go to the specific Federal Register publications, and then you have to know how to read them, they're done. Because they have to take judicial notice. No way around it. That's the only thing that they listen to. The rest of it is a con. That's why we don't get anywhere.
And that's why I like, you know, in the past, you'd see people write volumes of paperwork trying to teach some agency or some court about the law when they don't care. So what you've been talking about is now a whole lot simpler. So now you can just ask, can you show me that where that regulation is in the Federal Register? And if it's not there, it doesn't apply to me. It gets real simple, and put the burden of proof on them.
Right. You know, just like 6331 they use for liens, levies, and all that stuff, and taking your property.
Right.
Going under 60, the thing is, they have to put the statutory number in the Federal Register. So they, you go in and look. It's 26 CFR, and it's 301.6331. There is no part 31, 6331, which is in the money side. There is no part 1.6331, which is under income tax. There's only one 301 regulation. They have to put the statutory number in the heading. Okay, that's a mandate. That's in the APA or in the Federal Register nonsense stuff. Now, the question becomes, you have to go to the bottom, and they will cite an authority like 7805. Well, what Westlaw does, they show every 301 regulation in existence for Title 26. And there ain't a one of them has a statutory authority of 6331, statutory authority, because there is none. They don't exist. So then you go above that in the credit field, and you go into the Federal Register, and they will, the thing there will be no 553B. There will be a notice for comments, but no 553B. Or what I was going to talk about, the little bit of time we have left here, let me bring that up. And this is what I didn't understand, and I finally got a Senate report, and now that I know what I'm looking for, it's all over. They will say, it is, you'll find this everywhere, it is impractical, unnecessary, or not in the public interest. That's called the informal. So what they're saying is, we're not going to do the formal so you'd actually know, which you won't ever see. But then what is crazier yet, that the part that I was missing, I didn't know, it says the situations of the emergency or necessary or the necessity of the escape clause has to be, they have to put in what is the emergency that they bypassed. Number one, that it's impractical, unnecessary, and public interest. So you must state the emergency, which they never do. But it gets crazier. You got to read the definitions. Impractical. A situation due and required execution of an agency function would be unavoidably prevented by its undertaking public rulemaking. In other words, if we did this in the public, you could stop us. Wow, that sounds like something I'd vote for. Unnecessary. It says here, it would be a case of a minor or merely technical amendment of which the public is not particularly interested. What the hell has got my interest in the law? Either it is or it ain't, but then they go to the public interest. That requires public rulemaking procedure shall not prevent an agency from operating, and that on the other hand, the lack or lack of public interest ruling warrants an agency dispense with public. Look at this first part. Shall not prevent an agency from operating, rulemaking. So in other words, they, when they do that, I can't stop them from making, the comments are irrelevant, because when they put that in, they're saying, you can't stop me from making a rule. Is that the way a republic works? I am going to make you a slave, and by damned you will bow down and kiss my tootsie. That's what they're saying. And you will see that, and the games that they play. Proposed rule has two ways. 553B, we're doing it. They never see it. 553B, we don't talk about it. It's nonsense. 553B, they will use impractical, unnecessary, and not in the public interest. But they never state the emergency. And that's mandated, by the way, in the APA, which I didn't catch on to. And the Senate report comes out and said, you got to do this. So in other words, none of the regulations have the force and effect of law. But you have to go to the CFR, go down to the Federal Register publications. That's the only thing these guys are mandated to listen to. There's only two acts in the Federal Register. Federal Register Act of 1935 and the APA Act of 1946. And there's the key to going after all of these suckers. Okay? That makes sense?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
And I'm going to get this into a one line, but I mean, it simplifies it because you go into the 6331, which they use all the time. We go into the statutory side, and it says it's only for employees and stuff, and the courts just ignore it. Back in a minute. I'll tell you why.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Okay, Chris in Las Vegas, you got a question or a comment?
I got a little intel for you, Ralph. I was looking on my USC stuff this morning, and I found 5 USC, Section 706, Review of an Agency Decision, and I found it to be very curious and mysterious and helpful. I kind of read them like you do, I think, and I am aware of the nefariosity of these agency bad actors, and this is how you hold them to accountability by review of an agency action. So I thought it might be helpful to you. That's Section 706 of 5 USC.
I've used it, and what I found, I wasn't aware of. Let me find 5 USC here, so 706. Because what was interestingly enough, I've tried the arbitrary and capricious.
Uh-huh. Okay?
And I found a court case and said, no, that's not what you do. Let's see if I can pull it up here. I'm trying to find it in my thing so I can read it. You go to 706D. D. Okay. And the question is, what is that? What is 706D? And I'll bring that up here in just a minute here, if I can get it up and running here. Oh, I haven't looked at that for a while here. I got to change this to DOC. It's got an RTF. Okay. And this is really interesting because it said what you got to do here is D, 706. Let me get down to it. I finally got it open here. 706D. Says, without observance of procedure required by law. That means they're not following the Administrative Procedures Act. It's about following procedure. It's not that it's arbitrary and capricious that it's wrong. It's that they're not following the procedure. And I didn't get that. It's right there. Again. I mean, what they do is they make this so difficult. It's like, do you ever see those Indiana Jones movies, you know, where he's going down the tunnel and he steps on a stone and this happens and they step on this stone? And that's what they've done. They've tried to make it so complicated that you can't get there from here.
Well, that was the way I read it, Ralph. And it seems that these agencies are completely out of control. they're under the chief executive's auspices, and then they run out on their own because they're private enterprises. They're private racketeering enterprises is what they've all been perverted and converted to.
Well, it's 706, number, let's see, 706, what is it here? I just read that, 706, where is it? Required by law, D, capital D, and it's 2D, 706 2D. That is the one that nails them in the Federal Register. They're not following procedure. It's not that it's arbitrary and capricious. They're not out of control. It's just they didn't follow procedure.
Well, they hardly ever do. They think they're above the law.
Yeah, their procedure in their world is their law.
I'd like to follow up with some. If a public, and I hate to say official, but if you have a public servant who by law is supposed to do something and they don't do it, you can use what's called a writ of mandamus to file in a court to force them to do what they're supposed to do. So if they're not providing the information they're supposed to provide you, whatever, you know, whatever it is, and they're operating outside of the law. So like if the American Procedures Act, I'm sorry, that's not the Administrative Procedures Act, the APA, right, Administrative Procedures Act. If they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, you can file a petition for a writ of mandamus to force them to do what they're supposed to do. And if they're doing something that they're not supposed to do, then you can do a petition for a writ of prohibition that says, oh, you got to stop doing that. And you're showing the court at that point. Now,
let me give you an opposing view here. Okay.
Okay.
That's why we have you on the show.
Okay.
Opposing views. That doesn't say public officer. See, the Constitution says you got to be a public officer, hold an office, you got an oath, and all that stuff. Alaska says you can't impersonate. There's nothing about impersonating public officers. There is a one about public officials. Same thing about public servants. They're employees. They hold no office. There is in Alaska, you can't impersonate a public official, which is an employee. But there is no impersonating a public officer, which we don't have any. So you have to go look at the public servant, which is like the police. They're public servants. They don't hold an office. They don't. They're not bound to do anything. That's the key of, we have to look at these, it's a word game with these people.
Well, don't they represent that department, though?
Nope. Go look at the, anytime you, first thing you want to do in the end of this stuff is go look at the definitions. That's the first thing you want to do. When you're reading anything, go look at public servant, public official, public officer, whatever you're after, and see who, what they are, because this is how they get around it. They use it, but they don't tell us what they're doing. Guaranteed. This is years of experience of getting my butt handed to me.
Thank you for your hard work, gentlemen.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay. Yeah. Well, watch out for the federales. Watch out for Comrade Biden, and watch out for the Democrats, and watch out for the federales. They're everywhere. God willing, we will see you next Sunday.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.